You, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not leave us. Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. He comes out like a flower and withers. He flees like a shadow and continues not. Do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me into judgment with you? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? There is not one. Since his days are determined and the number of his months is with you, and you have appointed his limits that he cannot pass, look away from him and leave him alone, that he may enjoy like a hired hand his day. For there is hope for a tree. If it be cut down, then it will sprout again, and that its shoots will not cease. Though its root grow old in the earth, and its stump die in the soil, yet at the scent of water it will bud, and put out branches like a young plant. But a man dies and is laid low. Man breathes his last, and where is he? As waters fail from a lake, and a river wastes away and dries up, so a man lies down and rises not again. Till the heavens are no more, he will not awake or be roused out of his sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my service I would wait till my renewal should come. You would call, and I would answer you. You would long for the work of your hands. For then you would number my steps. You would not keep watch over my sin. My transgression would be sealed up in a bag, and you would cover over my iniquity. But the mountain falls and crumbles away, and the rock is removed from its place. The waters wear away the stones. The torrents wash away the soil of the earth. So you destroy the hope of man. You prevail forever against him, and he passes. You change his countenance and send him away. His sons come to honor, and he does not know it. They are brought low, and he perceives it not. He feels only the pain of his own body, and he mourns only for himself. Who is like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord God of Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Job's friends were distinctly unhelpful to him in his misery. They blamed him for his suffering. They thought in this way to vindicate God. But Job knew that their answers weren't right. There was plenty of evidence in the world to show that the wicked often prosper and that those who are righteous suffer. A simple transactional model doesn't capture the way God operates. Perhaps part of the problem for Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar was that they weren't accounting for original sin. In their health and prosperity, it was comfortable to assume that all who suffer have done something to deserve it, and those who don't haven't. But Job, who had gone from riches to rags, and from robust health to miserable suffering, couldn't accept that. He didn't know of any cause in his life for the reversal of his fortunes and health. And he wasn't mistaken in this. There wasn't one. His suffering was the result of his faithfulness and uprightness, which God was allowing Satan to test. In the midst of his suffering, Job saw life a bit more clearly than his friends. Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble, he said. He comes out like a flower and withers. He flees like a shadow and continues not. Even the strongest and the most righteous of people are like mountains that slowly crumble and fall, or like stone gradually eroded by the constant motion of water. Human lives are transitory. They do not endure forever. They may not be here for just today and then gone tomorrow. Sometimes they endure for many tomorrows. But finally, the tomorrow will come when they will be gone. When you will be gone. The Lord had warned, "In the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die." And because Adam and Eve ate, they and all of their descendants became subject not just to multiplied pain and to thorns and thistles and to work as a burden, but also to return to the ground from which they were taken. So it's true. Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. In light of this, Job asks the Lord, "Do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me into judgment with you?" His query seems to echo the question of the psalmist. What is man that you are mindful of him? Already when he comes forth from the womb, a man is terminal. Already then, the Lord knows when he will die. So why bother with him? Why enter into judgment with him? He's less even than a tree, which can sprout again from its roots. For a man, dead is dead. There is no sprouting again, no temporal resuscitation, no reincarnation. Job's evaluation is accurate. It seems terribly pessimistic, but it's accurate. And yet, his words allow for hope in the end. He says, "So a man lies down and rises not again till the heavens are no more. He will not awake or be roused out of his sleep. Did you catch that? No awakening or being aroused till the heavens are no more. When the heavens are no more, though, when the end has come, then Job's words allow an awakening or arousing might be possible. And it's on this basis that Job prays, "Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my service I would wait till my renewal should come. You would call and I would answer you. You would long for the work of your hands, for then you would number my steps. You would not keep watch over my sin. My transgression would be sealed up in a bag, and you would cover over my iniquity." Job's prayer is for a rest in Sheol, that is, the abode of the dead, or the grave. Then he prayed, after the Lord's wrath had been exhausted, that the Lord would remember him, would awaken him, and would renew him for faithful service. Then the Lord would guide his steps, would keep him from stumbling. Thus he would no longer have any sins to be observed. They will have been taken away, sealed up, covered over. No longer would they come into God's sight. What Job is describing here, albeit in a mirror dimly, is redemption in Christ Jesus and the resurrection to eternal life on the last day. For Jesus absorbed all the Lord's wrath over your sin in his innocent suffering and death on the cross. He bore your transgressions in his body that day. He paid for them with his blood. As a result, they are gone from the Lord's sight forever. No longer remembered, no longer held against you. When this short life is over, your body will be laid in a grave to await the resurrection, the day when the trumpet of God will sound like an alarm clock to awaken all the dead. At that set time, the Lord will gather Job and all those who have trusted in him to come into his glorious presence. There, clothed in robes washed clean and made white in the blood of the Lamb, your pleasure will be to sing his praises and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. It's true that man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. But that's only the very beginning of the story. A story of God's overwhelming mercy and grace toward you in his Son, Jesus Christ. Mercy and grace that will endure forever, long after death and mourning and crying and pain are no more. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.